be praying for us this morning. The title of this message or this discourse would be Present Help. Yes. Present Help. All right. And so the scripture, the main scripture that will go along with it, it would be Psalms 46:1. And I've told you many times before that this scripture is my most favorite scripture in the Bible. It's something that has held me and kept me from my infancy as a Christian, and it's holding me even now. It says that God is our refuge and strength. It says he's our very present help in time of trouble. And so I like it because it doesn't matter. It doesn't tell us what kind of trouble that we're in. It doesn't signify that. It doesn't worry about that. It doesn't worry about the fact that it might be you that got yourself in trouble in the first place. It doesn't care about that. It says he's our refuge and our strength. He's our very present help in trouble. Do you understand? And so if you're in trouble this morning, I want you listening to the word of God this morning. God has something that he wants you to hear. He says he's our present help. Present means in a particular place, existent or occurring now. It's current. So it's as opposed to the past or the future. If you're present, that means that it's happening now with you in this place at this time. So God is like that. Do you know that God is what you call omnipresent? Yes. Omnipresent. Do you know what that means? It means that he's everywhere all the time, and he's not confined to what we're confined to. We can only be in one place at a time. Did you know that it's difficult for me and you to listen to two people at the same time? It's difficult. Unless they saying the same exact thing, we can't do it. But did you know that God could hear you all the time and at the same time? Brother Tavis can be praying to the Lord, and I can be praying to the Lord, and somebody else can be praying to the Lord at the same time, and we all can get the ear of the Lord, and he'll hear us, and he'll help us all at the same time. May God help us this morning. He's a present help. Sometimes we rely on people, but there's an issue with that. And I want to talk about briefly those issues. We are human beings. And so what happens is the person that you may need to rely on, they may not be born yet. You can't rely on them if they're not here yet. All right. What about the one that you've been relying on, but they passed on? Can't do anything about that, can you? We can't do anything about that. Sometimes that's how it is as Christians. Sometimes we rely on other people so much that when they passed on, we don't know what we're going to do. God is a present help in time of trouble. And so he made it to where even if those people, as good as they may be, as good as they may love us and care for us and help us out, as much help as they may have given us, did you know that God made it that if something were to happen to them, he's still there, praise God, and he'll help us. Because I want you to know something this morning. Who you think is helping them? Huh? Who's helping them? They can't help you if he wasn't helping them. And so God is a present help. He's there in the now. Another thing is sometimes physically we can't get to where we need to be. All right. And so when I send my children to school in these days and time, didn't used to be somebody come up in a school and shoot it up. Didn't used to be like that, but it's like that now, isn't it? And so I got to know that God is a present help. When I pray with my children in the morning, Lord, watch over, protect them, be with them, Lord. I know that God is there at school with them. Yes. May the Lord bless us this morning. He's a present help, and he's in present help in time of trouble, in time of need. All right. Sometimes we rely on people and they don't have the mentally. Listen, let's just be honest this morning. Sometimes we just don't have it. Somebody call you and they've been calling you for the last umpteenth time and they done wore out whatever you had left. Huh? That's just the truth. You don't have it mentally. You like to help them, but you don't have it emotionally. You don't have it. God doesn't have those kinds of problems. All right? And so I want to encourage you to look to the Lord. God can be there. He will be there. He is there. He has been. He will be. And after the problem is over with, He's still there. Don't forget to thank Him. May God help us this morning. Want to read Psalms 46 and 1. Just want to make sure it's still in there. You turn your pages to Psalms 46 and 1, and somebody read that for us. We just want to make sure it's still in there, and it says the same thing. What does it say?
It says, God is our refuge.
God is our refuge and strength.
A very present help in trouble.
All right, and so I want to talk briefly about refuge. Refuge is a hiding place. Wait, let me back up because I got to say this. When the Lord was talking to me about this, He said He's a present help. He's not only present in terms of being there, but He's a present in terms of a gift. I got a hold of that. When He told me that, I about came out my skin. Because it's true. It's true. He's there and He's a gift to us. He's saying, I'm here and I'm going to be nothing but good to you. I'm going to be nothing but a blessing to you. And so He's present. All right. So God is our refuge and strength. He's a hiding place, a place of safety. Sometime in life, that's what we need. We need a place of safety. We got to run to Him. Listen, He's saying He's our refuge and our strength. And so it does us no good not to run to Him and hide in Him in the battles and the trials and the tests of life. I know somebody is getting mollywopped right now. I know that. If you're not saved, you're getting mollywopped. You can tell yourself whatever you want to. You can present whatever you want to everybody else, but I know deep down inside you're not happy and you won't be happy until the Lord do something, until you let the Lord do something. Let Him be your refuge this morning. Let Him be a place of safety. Where the sister talked about how the devil came to her and tempted her and tried to get her to do something. But God, the Bible says when the enemy come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. That's how God is. So He gave her that song. He gave her another song to encourage her, to lift her up, to help her out along the way. And that's the way that God is. A place of safety means the devil came. Get to you. Those problems can't get to you. Those things that would hurt you, that would harm you, they can't get to you. And so God is that kind of a place for you. He's been there. He was there. He'll be there. Do you want to use that resource by the grace and help of God this morning? I know somebody getting beat down. I've been saved a long time, but I've been beat down many times because I wouldn't go to that place of refuge. I got it, Lord. Hold on. Let me get my jacket off. I'll handle it. Huh? That's how we think sometimes. Lord, I know you made all this. I know you know everything and all things. But Lord, I got this one. Let me handle this one. Do we do that sometimes? May the Lord help us. Will we do that sometimes? He says He's our refuge. And then He says He's our strength. You know who comes to mind when I think about strength? Who's the strongest man physically in the Bible? Somebody tell me. Samson, right? Do you know that that's a representation of the strength that God can give us, not only physically, but spiritually? They said He lifted up the gates of the city and carried them uphill. Huh? At 49 years old, I'm having problems just walking uphill. You see what I'm saying? All right. What we're saying is that God's able to do those types of things. Matthew 28 and 18, what does it say? Something about power. Matthew 28 and 18, you beat me there. Go ahead and read it, please. Jesus came and spake unto them saying, how much power?
All power
is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's all we need. What else you need? How much more power you need than all power? Need any more power than that? Huh? So who do we go to when we need some strength? He says He's our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. So when I need some strength, who do I go to? I'm asking.
Go to God. Go to Jesus. Ask him. Say, Lord, you got all the power. I need that power. I need some Samson type strength today. Will you help me? Will you bless me? Will you be with me? I promise you that he will. All right. So God is our refuge and strength. And it says he's a present help in trouble. That means that he's there. I want to talk briefly about something. God is different than us because he was, he is, and he will be. Right? There is no human being. Think about this. God was talking to me about this. He said, before there were humankind, before there was an earth and all of that, there was God. Right? Because it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, every human being that has ever lived, every instance of their life, God has been there. Right. Now, if we just talk about right now on the earth, how many people's on the earth right now? Over 8 billion people. Are you beginning to understand how powerful God is? He is in, it's hard for our, what happens is our mind can't take it in. It's hard for our, we're the limiting factor. We start thinking, how am I going, the problem is, if we're trying to figure out, how can I do it, Lord? How am I going to do this thing? And I'm encouraging you that God is there, use that resource by the help of the Lord. He's there. He's been there the whole time with all his strength, with all his rescue, with all his power and all his might. He is there. And so the enemy works hard on you and me to get us to be unbelieving. But I want to encourage you this morning that the same problem, let's go with me, 8 billion, right? Why do we think that our problem is unique? Is that likely? With 8 billion people, that ain't talking about all the people that done passed on and all the people before us. Just the people right here, right now. You really think your problem is that unique? You think God don't have an answer or solution for your problem? I promise you he's seen that problem before. Matter of fact, somebody is in heaven right now singing his praises that had your problem. Your issue. Do you know that God knows who? We talked about it this morning. We're all different. Some people are more like Peter. That we're brash and we're quick to jump out. Some people are like Thomas. We don't believe you really. I mean, to be honest with you, show me. How about that? And there are all different types of people. But do you know that God not only calls you, but he claims you? When he calls you to salvation, he said, not only is he mighty to save, but he's mighty to keep. He's going to keep you. And he knows who you are. He knows what your weaknesses is and your short. He knows you. He knew you before you were born. He did. He was there. All right. And so what we have to understand is that when we come to God, he knows us already. We can be honest with him and we can say, Lord, I'm having a problem. I'm not doing well. I've never done well in this area. I'm not good at this, Lord. And unless you help me, I'm not going to be helped. I need you to help me, Lord. And I'm telling you the solution, the answer is already there. Huh? Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. God has what you need and he's already there. He's there with you. The devil works hard on your mind trying to get you to believe that God doesn't hear you. Your problem is unique. Nobody understands. That's not likely either. You might not know who understands you, but God, there's some other people that understands what you're going through. May the Lord help us. I want to encourage you this morning that God is everywhere at the same time. Somebody go to Revelation. I'm going to prove it to you because we ain't just going to stand up here and just make some claims and then not prove it. Somebody get Revelation 22 and 13. What's that say? Huh?
What's that mean?
The first and the last.
All right.
The first and the last.
He says he's Alpha.
Yes.
What's Alpha? Where's that at? Is that the beginning or the end? Where's that at? That's at the front, right? I'm Alpha. I'm Omega. Omega's at the end. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I'm the first and the last. All right. So he was there. He is there. And he's going to be there. All right. Another thing I want us to understand is what that also means is when we have a problem and an issue, it's in front of us. It's not in front of God. God is looking down. So when you look down on something, you can see the beginning, you can see the middle, you can see the end, you can see how things need to be done in order for this person to be successful. That's how God is. See? So God is not bound by the confines of our humanity. He can do it because he knows how to do it. Right? Just like when we take our children and we say, listen, you want to do this? I'll tell you how to do that. I've done that before. I'm past that problem. That's no big deal to me. God is way better at that and at doing those types of things. And so because he's able to do that kind of thing, then what we need to do is use him as our greatest resource. You say you're my refuge and strength. You're a present help in trouble. You're already there. You was there before I got there. Then, Lord, let me talk to you about this. I need your help, Lord. I need your help. All right. Think about this. I want you to begin to think in these ways because the devil fights us and he doesn't want us to think like this. But I'm going to show you how, just one example. Solutions. There are answers. I think he has myriads of answers to the same problem, and they already exist. All right. Let's go with me to Exodus 14 and 21. Anybody know what that's talking about? Exodus 14. Remember when Moses was at the Red Sea? Y'all remember that? All right. This is to help us out, okay? Because this is how things happen. Listen in and dial in on this. The devil is what? He's chasing us, right? We're in the middle and we're running, right? And before us is what? The Red Sea. All right. And so the problem's before us. The devil's behind us, and we're feeling the pressure of that thing, right? And so, not only in this situation, but that's how life is anyway. That's how life is. The devil's behind you, and he's trying to get you. And he's wanting you to run, but he doesn't want you to run to the one that's going to help you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so what he's trying to do is he's trying to apply the pressure. He's making all this noise. He's got all these weapons like the Egyptians did. And you got nothing. Huh? The Israelites left Egypt with what they had on. They ain't had no weapons. They, you see what I'm saying? They coming out of slavery. And so in the same way, we don't have anything except. Huh?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on. What more do you need?
Yes.
What more you need? And but what happens is we get to looking at the problem and we say, oh man, this problem, man, I can't drink all this water and I can't swim that good. Huh? I can't swim that good. So if I keep going, we all gonna drown. Remember what they said? They said we can go back to Egypt.
Right.
First of all, we're not going back to Egypt. We're not going back into sin. We ain't doing none of that. It wasn't no good. I don't know what the solution is, but that's out. We ain't doing that.
Amen.
Right? And so anyway, we start looking at the water and we start saying, well, if they catch us, then they're going to kill us and they're going to return us to slavery. Right? And so we are overwhelmed. Is God overwhelmed?
No.
He's not?
No.
Read Exodus 14, 21 and 22, please.
And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea.
Right? Right.
All that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on
All right, so when you get a chance, I want you to go home and get a cup of water, put it in a bowl, and blow on it until it until the water is separated and stays separated. It ain't gonna happen, is it? We can't do it. This is the God we serve. This is the present help. Right? We don't see a way. We can't figure out a way. We don't know how God's gonna do it. But let's go to Genesis 1:6 and read that scripture, and then I'll try to nail down what I already said. What's Genesis 1:6 say?
And God said,
Let
there be a firmament.
Okay.
The water,
okay.
And let it divide the water from the water.
You see? God been dividing waters for a long time. No big deal to him. It don't matter how he did it. He just did it, didn't he? But he had been doing that since the creation of at least since the creation of the world, right? And so we think that, again, remember I told you, we think our problems are unique. We don't see any way that we can do it. We're trying to figure out a way we can do it. Matter of fact, sometimes what hinders us is we're trying to figure out how God can do it. Listen, that's not your job. We don't need to know how he do it. My children don't know how I do a whole bunch of things, but I do them, right? Now, I'm not God. I'm not comparing myself to God, but I'm trying to get us to understand that God is that way. He knows how to do what needs to be done, but we got to put our hands in his hands, and we got to involve him in the process when we need some help. Matter of fact, it'd be smart. I don't know. Maybe involve him early. We'll talk about that a little bit. Because sometimes we're in trouble, and we don't need to be in trouble. We just didn't involve God in the process, and so therefore we're in trouble. What God needs is our simple trust and obedience. When the Lord told Moses to raise the rod, it wasn't nothing special about that rod or Moses' arm. It was his obedience and faith and trust and confidence in God. He had to block out, and I want you to dial in on this. Sometimes you got to block out the noise. I don't know why you're trusting God. God, basically what they were saying is God did us wrong. And we can figure out something better than what. Don't let people do you like that. Amen. Wait for what the Lord tells you to do. Yeah. Do that and know that he's going to take care of you. He's a present help in time of trouble. My question is this. Do you think that God didn't know that the Egyptians was going to chase them? Do you think that he didn't know that they was going to be at the Red Sea? He knew and he knows. Okay? He knew. He knows. He's got us. We got to let him help us. May God help us this morning. All right. So I want to say one last thing about the solutions and the help that we need. Help is just assistance, right? All right. What God can do, now I don't know if he even does it anymore, because it's okay. Let's say it this way. A miracle is a miracle to us. Does that make sense? You think it's a miracle to God? It's not. Right? The best way I can think of is, let's just say there's an ant, a colony of ants, and there was something obstructing them, maybe a large rock or something like that, and then on the other side of that rock was some nourishment. They need to get that nourishment. And I don't know, ants, they're never tired, but maybe they were tired that day and they didn't feel like climbing over that rock. And you saw where they were trying to get to that rock, and you just took that rock because you're huge and you're strong. Ants are strong, but they're not that strong, right? And you took that rock and you just moved it out of the way. Is that a miracle to you?
No.
It's not. It's no big deal, right? Why? Because you have the power to do that kind of thing. So miracles is a miracle to me and to you because we can't do it, but it's not a miracle to God.
I'm trying to expand our minds to understand that what you're asking God is no big deal to him. He can do it. What's hindering you and me is not involving him in the process, not allowing him the trust and the confidence and the faith that he deserves, not allowing him the opportunity to work and deal in our lives. God can do it. Don't worry about that part. You worry about getting to a place where you believe it and you let him do it.
Amen.
Amen. And when I'm saying you, I'm saying me too. I'm in the you. I'm first in the you. Just so you know. Because sometimes I struggle too, and I need the Lord to help me too. All right, so one last thing I wanted to say is, if there wasn't a solution, just to make sure that we understand this, if there isn't an already existing solution, which there probably is, it's highly unlikely that it's not. You're not the first person with what you got going on. But if there wasn't, God can create one. Huh?
Yes.
He can. So let's just say you are so unique that you came up with an issue and got yourself into something that ain't never been seen before. God Almighty can speak into existence an answer for you that will work right now today in 2025. Praise and bless his holy name. Again, the limiting factor is you and me. We're trying to figure out. I want you to go with me to Romans 11 and 33. What's that say? The last portion of that verse, what does it say?
Oh, the depths of the riches.
All right.
Both of the wisdom and knowledge.
All right.
How unsearchable
are
his judgments.
All right. And his ways past finding out. Here's our problem. We are human beings. And so we have limited resource in terms of what we can understand. We have that just go. Lord help us. Lord help us. Sometime in school we got problems understanding stuff. And that's okay. You ain't got to understand. But point is, stop trying to figure it out.
Yes.
Stop trying to figure out how you can do it. Stop trying to figure out how he can do it. And let the Lord be that present help in time of need. Luke 1:37, Matthew 17 and 20, and Luke 17 and 6. What's Luke 1 and 37 say? I want you to read that again because I'm not sure I heard that correctly. I think I did, but I want to be sure. What does it say?
For with God,
with who?
Nothing okay.
So he didn't just say nothing is impossible. He said with God, nothing shall be impossible. Right? And so again, we have to involve him in the situation, in the equation. Lord, I need you. I need you now. I know you're here because you're everywhere all the time to everybody. And so you're here even now. And Lord, you're asking me to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm not even good at trusting, but I'm asking you to take what I have. Remember the grain of mustard seed? Remember that? We'll read about it. But just a little bit that you have, little as much when God is in it. Right? And so when we bring God, when we are just, and I'm speaking from experience here, there's no way I could have stayed saved. There's no way I could be doing any of the things that God is helping me to do now unless he helped me.
Right.
When I think over the past, I behold how his wide arms of mercy held me. You talking about weak, all kinds of weak. You talking about somebody that had all kind of issues and problems and everything else and still got some things we're working on. But God helped me and he's helping me. He is a present help in time of need. Right? Because I couldn't have done it. I couldn't do it without God. So it says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. So there's something in me many times that can hinder that, and I can bring that to him too. Lord, I don't have the faith. People don't want to talk about that. If you don't have the faith, you know you don't have the faith. God knows you don't have the faith. So why don't you just go to him and say, listen, Lord, please listen to me, Lord. I don't have the faith. Can you help my faith? What do you think he'll do? No, I don't like you. You too tall. You too short. You think he's going to do that? He ain't like that. Trust him and be true. See what he'll do. He'll what? Never disappoint your soul. When you have done your best, bring what you got to God and see if he don't multiply it like he did the fishes and the loaves. Right? Just a little bit. I'm struggling, Lord. I'm doing bad. I need your help, Lord. Because I ain't going to make it. You can tell him that. Say, Lord, I ain't going to make it. Please. He'll help you. He'll bless you. And it's not just possible. It's more than possible. With God. Matthew 17 and 20, what does it say?
And Jesus said unto them,
all right.
Because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you,
all right.
If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Again, nothing shall be impossible. If a rock get to be around maybe 250 pounds, we in trouble. Now, we might can do it with some help. But if somebody trying to do it by themselves, something bad going to happen. Because a rock is different. It's compact. It's hard to move. But in this scripture, it's talking about a mountain. Pick the tallest, pick the biggest, pick the most. And what it's saying to us this morning is that thing that it looks immovable. It's been there. It's always been there. And I don't know how you're going to do this, Lord. He said, if you have faith. He said, if you got a tiny bit of faith. Lord, increase my faith. I'm praying that as I'm saying that. Lord, help me to believe that you can do. Lord, I've always been this way. Always. I've had this bad attitude. I've had this poor outlook on life. I've had these negative mindsets. Whatever it is, you fill in the blank of what the mountain is to you. Right? And I'm telling you this morning, according to the scripture, if you can bring that thing to God, because bringing it to him is exhibiting a level of faith. Did it say if you have faith as a mustard seed? Is that what it says? Oh. It says what now? A grain. So it's talking about a piece of a mustard seed. How big is a mustard seed? It's tiny. It's the smallest, okay? It's the smallest grain there is. Right? And so we bring that to God and we say, Lord, I'm not good at this. I don't know how you're going to do it. I'm going to leave that with you, but I'm going to bring that with you, and I need you to move this mountain. He said he'd do it. Yeah. All right. I'm almost finished here. I appreciate your time and your attention and your prayers for me. Yeah. Listen, the goal and aim is to encourage, to uplift, yeah, and to point someone to the world above. Yeah. We're trying to make heaven our home. And we don't want to go by ourselves. We're not going to go by ourselves. If you're content to go by yourself, then you need prayer. You do. There's something wrong with that. You need the Lord to help you with that. We want to go to heaven, and we want to take as many as we can with us. We want to encourage and uplift as many as we can. What did I say the last verse was? Luke 17 and 6. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And
it should obey you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what way does a tree grow? It does? Booyah. Booyah. That's what we're getting at. A tree grows up and down. Matter of fact, all plants grow up and down. All of them. And I can tell you right now, there's some roots, there's some little weeds that you, huh? There's some weeds that'll talk bad to you if you let them. You got to get some weapons and fight them, because they don't want to come out. Let alone a bush, you got to get a pickaxe, and sometimes you get some trees, they not coming out. You got to get a whole bulldozer and chains and everything else, right? But according to this scripture, because the tree grows up, and matter of fact, they say that the tree's root is 2 to 3 times the height of the tree. Did you know that? The exposed portion of the tree, the root system, is 2 to 3 times. And sometimes they get down there and wrap around some rocks and get, you see what I'm saying? It's not easy, but it's saying here that if we believe that, and if we involve God as our present help in time of trouble, this thing that is it won't move, it won't, He's saying that it can be done by his grace and help and mercy. So the takeaway is this, and this is the takeaway. Put him in the equation. Put God into the equation. And why I say that is he's already there. I already said that. But you and I have to acknowledge his presence. You and I have to accept his ability to do what it is that he can do. We have to trust him and allow him to do it. Many times God is standing by right like this because we've got his hands tied and we won't let him do what he wants to do. And so that even though he's there with us at all times, he said he wouldn't leave us. He said he would not forsake us. Sometimes we leave him, but he doesn't leave us. All right. But he's standing by because we haven't untied his hands. We are the only ones that can tie God's hands. He won't go over our will. And so what God says is, let me do something for you. I'm already here. I've already got the answer. I've got the power. I've got everything that you need. All that you got to do is ask me to do it, and I will do it. And so I'm encouraging you, ask him early. Involve him before you even get into what it is that you're going to get into. That's why you read your Bible and pray every day. You're going to meet the devil today. You're going to meet difficulty. You're going to go through something. Involve God in the process. Jeremiah 10 and 23. What does it say? This is something we got to get in terms of in our minds. Lock this into your mind. This is how it's done as people of God. It says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in who? It's not in himself." The Bible says in another place, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. We are not good at this. Do y'all understand? Are you understanding me? We're just not good at it. Even if we've had success in the past, even if we think it was us, it really was God. If it was good, it really was God. Let me clue you in. But it says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own self." So the encouragement is, put him in the equation before we get into trouble. Right? Put him in there. "Lord, I need your help with whatever it is that I might go through. And I'm letting you know, and I'm acknowledging your presence. I know that I need you today, and I'm good with that. I'm going to allow you to bless me and help me, and I want you to be with me." All right, so do that. And then when you get into it, then you know that it's something that he allowed, not something that you got yourself into. But if it is something that you get yourself into, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so at that instance, "Lord, will you help me? I'm in trouble now." If you're not going to involve him when you're in trouble, when are you going to involve him? When will you? May God help us. So involve him early, involve him often, and know that he will help you. There's another scripture I'm not going to read right now, but I believe that the word oppressed is synonymous with
stressed. We call it stress, but what it really is, in Bible terms, is oppression, right? You got something going on. You're not allowing the Lord to take his rightful place in the situation, and so you are stressed about it. You are overly concerned about it. So read that scripture when you get an opportunity and a chance. God is our refuge and strength. He's our very present help in trouble. Another scripture you can read for homework is Isaiah 40 and 29. It says, he giveth power to the faint, them that have no might. Not only does he give you strength, but he increases strength. So if you don't have the strength, he'll do that. He's here for us. The reason why he's here, why do you think he's here? Why do you think the Lord is here? Huh? He's just there for no reason. We need him, and he wants to help us, right? And so he's there. He's all. It don't matter what you're into, what you got going on. He knows about it, so you can tell him about it. You don't have to hide anything from him. You can be as honest and open as you want to be with him. He's not going to take that knowledge and then mistreat you with it. Sometimes we struggle with that because people will do that. You'll tell somebody something in confidence, and you open your heart to them, and they'll take that thing and turn it into a weapon and stab you in the back with it. God Almighty don't do that. He doesn't do that. And so I say, if you can, if the Lord's dealing with you, then come to an altar of prayer. Not only will the Lord meet you there, but the person that there is qualified, they should be qualified to take the whatever secrets you may have or whatever it is that you're telling the Lord, and they keep that between you, them, and the Lord. That's the way it should be. But even if you don't trust that, then you find a place of prayer, and it just be you and God. You do that. Because the point is, you get the help that you need. That's what we want. I want to encourage you this morning that God is here. He's always been here. He loves you. He cares about you. That's why he's a present help in time of trouble. And I want you to be encouraged to use him as your help. Use him as your resource. Not only when you're in trouble, but use him all the time. Use the Lord all the time. Say, Lord, I need your help. Not use him in a negative way, but y'all understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about use him like you misuse. We say use, but really it means misuse. I'm not talking about misuse. I'm talking about he's your resource. He's your help. He's there for you. He wants to help you. And so be encouraged this morning that God has you and he's got what you need. May the Lord bless you. My goal and aim is to make heaven my home. I ain't going by myself. I know that. So I want you to go with me. I also want you to pray for me because the enemy wants to discourage us. He wants to turn us around. He wants to destroy what God is doing. And so we need a lot of prayer. We don't just need prayer. We need a lot of prayer. Pray for me, and then by the grace and help of God, I'll be praying for you. Thank you for your time and your attention.